It is the day the Lord hath made. You guys sang with great energy and great fervor and great anointing. Thank you. And I got to tell you something, that I know how I feel when I hear that. And it encourages me when I'm down there. And it encourages the people that are leading you also. And you got to know it encourages the name of the Lord in the house to be lifted up. It's a good day. I wrote this statement, and here's what it says. Oh, I need a word from the Lord. Anybody need a word from the Lord? Anybody need a word from the Lord? You know, I've seen people creepy, you know, with using the word of the Lord. And a lot of times you don't need the word of the Lord if you already know what to do. You got that? I'm bringing some balance to what I'm saying this morning. You don't need a word you don't need him to tell you that you need to read the word. You don't need him to tell you that you need to honor the commandments of the Lord. You don't need him to tell you that you need to worship. You don't need to tell him that you need to give. You don't need to tell him that you walk in faith and walk in. It's already written. You don't have to ask him about those things. But there are times in our walk that we need a word that will just encourage us. Sometimes it might be as easy as keep going. Sometimes it might be you're doing good, it's okay. Sometimes it might be peace, be still. Sometimes it'll, for the love of God, stop it. Sometimes you'll hear it'll be all kinds of different things. But we all need the word of the Lord today. I am also asking, I want to thank you for being here today, because I believe this will be the day. You know, you try not to share too much personal thing. We all have personal things we deal with. But I'm really hoping today that by the time we're over, that you will join me and help me in prayer because of really a lifelong family marriage dispute that we cannot agree on or come to an answer on. And I'm totally believing that perhaps this word today would illuminate you and maybe the word of God, because I've got something I need to share with you that we've not been able to resolve in all these years. We've had things we've been able to resolve, but there's, you know, right after, it was a stream of consciousness when I sat down and wrote. I wrote, oh, I need a word from the Lord. And I wrote, this is actually on my notes. We need God to speak, comma, not idiots. But we're living in a time right now. It's in my notes. I don't know how biblical it is. I don't know, you know. But I wrote that right now. I heard somebody today, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and we believe in what God has breathed. When God breathed in the man, he became a living soul. We believe every life is precious at any point. I read a story of a person standing in a church, in a so-called gospel preaching church just a few weeks ago in Woodstock, Georgia. She said, I was trained to read and understand the Bible. A statement like that already is to kind of back people off, okay? And she said, I'm going to tell you this. Now, what is going to be said does not jive with part of sentence number one. There is nothing about the decision to eliminate access to abortion care that is grounded in anything other than cruelty or meanness. And it opened up by saying, I was trained to read and understand the Bible. You need to get your money back. They did not teach you. They did not train you. This same individual just 2 weeks ago made this statement. There is no such thing as a heartbeat at 6 weeks. Now that's just, Jerry Clower used to say, you just got walking around sense. That's all you got right there. It is a manufactured sound designed to convince people that men have the right to take control over a woman's body. That's when I wrote, we need God to speak, not idiots, because that's foolishness. That is not God's word. Here's what I wrote. This is carnal foolishness. Because from the beginning of time as we know it, now I'm dealing today when I say from the beginning of time, only from our viewpoint. You got it? Please don't try to analyze every statement, you understand? When I say from the beginning of time, I mean our beginning of time. I'm man. God does not have a beginning of time, you understand? And all I have is the parameters of from the beginning of time, starting with my timeline. From the beginning of time, and I wrote this next to it, as we know it, when God speaks, something happens. When God speaks, something happens. This word, does anybody have a real Bible in their life? Baby, hold your Bible up, baby. Hold that up. Hold that Bible up there. That is a very special Bible. That is a special Bible that only belongs to Linda today. Who did it used to belong to?
Your grandmother.
My grandmother. My Maddie Green, who loved her. And that, and she reads that Bible there, and her name is in there. Do you know what? Stand up, hold it up so I can see it a little bit. Do you know what that is right there? Do you know? Do you know what? Do you know what this is, Ryan? Do you know what that is? Elizabeth, do you know what this is? Willie, do you know what this is? Joe, do you keep it up? Do you know what that is? That right there is the GPS to our heart. Hold it up. That is the GPS of your heart. That is the GPS to your heart. That is the thing. That's that voice that says, turn around, go back, make that turn, turn here, do this, do that. That's why I don't have that thing in my car. I don't need two female voices telling me where to turn in my car right there. I got one that's plenty loud enough right there. But that book right there to my heart, to my core, that is the GPS to my heart. That keeps me on track. That keeps me in line. That keeps me pointed to my destination. And then when I need a word from God, and I've got to be sure that all of a sudden now I might hear, you have arrived at your destination. And these are things that I'm looking, that word right there is the GPS of your heart. I need God to speak. Remember her holding up the GPS of your heart. I need to know something. Like the song we used to sing, Andre's sister wrote, we need to hear from you. We need God to speak. Have you ever prayed that? Have you ever been by yourself in the garden? God, I need you to speak. God, I need to hear your voice. The word is the GPS of your heart right now. You've prayed it because you realize that when God speaks, something happens. Maybe we haven't always behaved that way in our lives, but we do. We've learned the fact that when God speaks, something happens. Today, the word that I give to you, the coming word of the next few moments right now, is the foundation for my worldview. You understand that? Don't give me all your philosophies. Don't give me all your doctrines. Don't try to trip me up on how many angels can be on ahead of a needle. Don't give me the names of the horses. Don't give me all those different things. Don't give me all of those things right now when we live and our lives as if we really don't believe it. Some of us are Christian atheists. You know what that is. That's someone who says the thing but doesn't believe it enough to walk it through and to make it work in their lives. We're Christian atheists at times. Today, I want to say this to you. If you cannot land and put your faith and your trust and your belief in the first two verses of the Bible, you can't get the rest of it. You can't get the rest of it. Moses wrote this, and here's what he said. I'm going to read it very slowly. Listen to this. In the beginning. Now stop right there. That's Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, stop right there. That is not, as I said a minute ago, that is not the beginning of God. You got it? That was not the beginning of God. That was the beginning of creation as we know it. Creation and man as we know it right there. It says, in the beginning, God created. If you can't get these first two verses and believe them down to the bottom of your Tom McCann's, if you can't believe every bit of this from this point, you will not get the rest in its fullness right there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then verse 2, something unusual. And the word says, now, stop right there. Now is a time word, okay? Now is a time word. Sometimes it means an immediacy, but it also means of something has gone on. And then it says, and you've heard it said, and as of now. It is a time word right there. The earth was, now stop right there, formless and, wait, let me just keep reading this verse. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Now, let me just take a minute there. That word where it says was right there, that word was, in fact, if I remember my recollection right, that word in that usage right there, over 100 times, yes, in the scriptures, when you see that word used there, in the original breakdown of that, it's not actually was, it's actually became. Got it? It is became. It says, now the earth became formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep. Here's what you need to know. God did not originally create the earth, as it says in verse 1, okay? God did not originally create the heavens and the earth. Dark, void. God does not create things that are in darkness. In him is light. He is not the author of confusion. But I think I'm on strong, strong ground that something went on between that one and that two there. Because when God creates, it's not formless. It's not lifeless. It's not void. He is life. In him there is no darkness at all. It is beauty. It is symmetry. It is majesty. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then, now, a time word, the earth became formless. It became empty, void, as King James says. Darkness covered the face of the deep. Lucifer had to be dealt with during this time. We won't go into that right now. But when the earth was at a point that it was dark, that it was formless, that it was empty, it said, and the Spirit of God was hovering. The Holy Ghost mojo is starting to work there over that thing is that a form, a void and formless and dark and a mess there and not beautiful, not symmetry, not order. It's dark, it's bleak, it's without purpose, and the Holy Spirit was hovering. Let me just say something to you. When the Holy Spirit starts hovering, there's life present. And it said it hovered over the waters, the life-giving flow of the water. You see in the pictures already of the water of the Word, the water of the Spirit, the flow there. And it was a hodgepodge. It was a mess. If you can't believe the first two, you can't get the rest of it. And then after this point, over 10 times in this scripture, and I'm not going to read them, I'm going to paraphrase them, and I'm going to move fast through the next few. 10 times you see these three words or adaptations of these three words. Verse 3 opens by saying, and God said, let there be light. What's the first thing you need to do when you need to get things cleaned up? What's the first thing you do when you have to examine a situation? What's the first thing you got to do when you take inventory? What's the first thing you do if you got to clean something up? You got to turn the light on. Darkness was covered. God turned the light on and God said, let there be light. The next statement says there was light. Verse number 6, and God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. God made it to separate there, and it happened, and God said. Verse number 9, and God said, let the water be gathered there. Oh, by the way, at the end of verse number 9, it says this statement. It says, and God saw that it was good. What God spoke not only happened, but God said, that's not bad. God kind of stood back and went, like it, it's coming. Verse 11, three words. Then God said, the land was to produce vegetation. And the statement at the end of verse number 11 says, and it was so. And at the end of verse 12, it said, and God saw that it was good. Then in verse 14, he said, God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night. He made two great lights. And at the end of verse 18, it says this, and God saw that it was good. What was good? The thing that God spoke. The thing that God spoke. Verse number 20. And God said, then he said, let the water teem with living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth. God created the great creatures. And at the end of that verse there, I think it's verse 22, the statement, end of verse 21, and it said, and God saw it was good. By the way, I won't read it, but in verse 22, it said, God blessed them, and he said, increase in your number and fill the waters in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. You know what God did? God spoke to the animals. Dr. Doolittle said, if I could talk to the animals, God was talking to the animals at creation. God spoke to them and he said, all right, you guys do the thing that comes natural to you that I put inside of you. Then in verse 24, God said, let the land produce the creatures of all kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along. And right before the end of 24, it said, and it was so. The end of verse 25, and God looks at what he has done and God says, it is good. Now God's going to put the cherry on top of the dessert, the whipped cream and the cherry, and the little bitty nuts around the side. It's perfect. It's in verse 26. Then God said, time had passed, then, another time word. What you need to know right there, this was a called meeting of the board. Present at this meeting was God the Father, Jesus, his son that he would send, and God the Holy Spirit. The big three contributed together to make me. Then God said, let us. You see that? He didn't say, I'm going to make man. Let us make man in our image, our likeness, so they may rule over the fish and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, over the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. And those who are manufacturing food right now have missed this word of what God said. And if it's allowed to work in its way, it's going to work and take care of everyone. All the creatures. Verse 27. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. I rest my case. Someone said, God created male. God created female. The rest are mental disorders. That's foolishness. Intentionally to corrupt man made in God's image. It's a fist in God's face. And here's what happened. God blessed them and he said, he spoke to them, here's your job. Here's your job. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, every living creature that moves on the ground. Verse 29, he spoke again. Then God said, I'm also throwing in all the plants to give to you and all the fruit and the seeds. And actually, he says, they will be yours for food. They will be yours for food. That's the word of God. All the beasts and everything. Everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. Now watch verse 31. Now, before you put it up there, sweetie, listen to me. What did God say at every point when he created a sky and light and trees, plants and fishes in the deep blue sea, all right? Joy to you and me, all right? What did God say after he created it? And God saw it that it was. What did God just create? Man and woman. Watch verse 31. Slap it up there. God saw all that he made and it was very good. It was very good. You are the crowning achievement of creation. I know some of you don't feel that way today. I know some of you look in the mirror and say, what happened? What happened? I thought I'm supposed to be the crowning thing. I heard a story of a guy. He said, here's how I found out. He said, how much weight I need to lose. He said, I get in front of a big mirror. He said, I take all my clothes off. And he said, and I stomp on the ground. And he said, as long as everything moves, that's for every second, that's 10 pounds I need to lose. As long as something's still moving there. God made you are the crowning. You are the crowning glory of God's creation. Just look at them. That's very good. That's very good. Isn't that good? I like that. The crowning glory of God's creation. He didn't say very good until after he created man. today three great words, words of action, words of meaning. Actually, they are actually words of lordship. Then God said. And God said. Then God said. Why? Because when God speaks, something happens. Start looking for it, though. Some of you just live your life, doop, doop, doop. You live in your life waiting for the bus to pick you up and take you to heaven. No. You be alert. You do smart things. You be aware. You do important things. Don't fall for this thing that you can't be involved in the process. Don't let this foolishness that is all meant to put you back on your heels to embarrass you and to frighten you a little bit and to intimidate you. What God says is right, even though at times it doesn't look right. At times, it doesn't seem right. At times, we're not really hearing everything yet. Heard Linda on the phone with somebody a few months ago, and this was a person that was going through some real crisis things, and this is a person that you wouldn't know who it is, but this person has been dealing with a very real difficult situation. And sometimes you got to keep saying the same thing over and over to get it in their head. And you might have to reverse the order a little bit to make it sound like a different message, but it's the same message every time. And Linda made this statement and I wrote it down. God doesn't make sense until he does. Now you can drive home with that. God doesn't make sense until he does. Until he does. Until he does. Because in this walk, what do you do, though, when your eye sees one thing but God says another? She talks about her flying days, you know, when they were doing the traffic, hanging out the plane and all that stuff on the radio. And she talks about sometimes when it was not great weather and coming back, and the pilot had to fly by instruments. Could not see what was ahead there, but had to fly by the instruments. And you get to a point that if you don't train yourself to take your eye off what you see and train on what is down there, you're going to have a problem. Many years ago, we lost that young man and his young wife. They were in an airplane flying, and they hit the fog. And his eye and his equilibrium was telling him that I need to go drive, pull this thing down, and go down this way. His eye was seeing that. But what was actually, he was plunging to his death. And it was so sad and so tragic. Sometimes we've got to be flying by the instruments of the Word of God when you can't see with your own eyes, and you have to trust those things. In fact, sometimes you can't see things. A few years ago, I fell a few years ago. Tyler was with me. He loves to tell the story. Company was coming one day, and Linda said the front doors need a little attention out there. They're kind of junk all over them. It would be nice if you guys would get out there. So he and I were there. Don't hide, Tyler, on me back there. And so here we were together, and we're standing there, and I'm up on the ladder, and it's a brick thing, and it was a little unstable there, and that unstable part, and I'm leaning to one side there, and all of a sudden the side of that ladder, the side, did that, and I fell for 5 minutes. Have you ever felt like that? You fall for 5 minutes, you know what I mean? And as I went, it was like, you know, that sort of deal there. And I fell for 5 minutes, man. And I landed right on my butt bone, man. Boom, you know, like that. And I caught myself with this arm there, and it just feel like I've been dropped off a ladder, you know. I mean, and I'm sitting there for a minute. I'm trying to get my intelligence. You all right? You all right? It's the loudest I've ever heard him in his life, you know. And you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. I just feel like a truck. And he's never been one to just help me get. No, he runs. Mom, he just fell off the ladder. And all of a sudden I hear, what? And he comes in like that. And I'm sitting there hearing the whole conversation go. They talk about you in front of you. That's when you know you're old, all right? And they're going back and forth. Why was he up there? He wanted to get up there. Look at it. The ladder bent on me right there. I didn't fall off the ladder. The ladder bent on me right there. I have nothing to do with it. No, you shouldn't be on it. Mom, we just didn't. And it was back and forth. And we got to get you checked now, you know. And pretty soon they were going to give me chicken soup and have a blanket on my knees, you know, and watching Wheel of Fortune and then put me to bed after that. No, and it was, I was going, but I got to tell you, man, it took me a minute, and finally I get my breath back, and most I'm okay, but there's a side here, and when I hit this arm
And I felt something all the way up that went back, and kind of like Mary Alice would understand that. And I felt this nerve go from my wrist here. Sometimes this wrist still gets, I can predict the weather with this wrist right here. And sometimes it just gets ice cold on me right here. And my elbow and back there, the pinch down between back there, and it would hurt and go down to my neck. And how can that happen, you know? But it was terrible. So the doctor says, you've got to go through a rehab time. I'm thinking, okay, I'll just do it. But it was hurting. And for a long time, I could not see any results. And week after week, yeah, you got to go twice a week. You have to do it. And I'm like, they're just making money off me. Those suckers, they're sending my insurance company. And sure enough, they were saying it was quite a feat for what it was getting done. But I had to trust that for a minute. And I had to be tied into the belief that it would help. And Linda said, no, you just got to stick with it. And you know what? I had to do it, as they say, religiously. And here's what happened. I'd been going through week after week, and I hadn't seen a whole lot there, but I was doing it because, as the little boy said, I was supposed to. And I went through it, and you don't realize it, and you wake up one day, and the pain is not like it was. The bite is not like it was. The nerve is not as bad as it was. And then with the passage of time, my recovery time grew shorter. Why? Something was working that I could not see. Here's what I had to do in that situation. Here's what you have to do if you're going to grow. What you're going to have to do. These two statements, right? Number one, you have to trust the word, and you have to trust the process. Why? Because God spoke it. I can't see it. God spoke it. There is no debate there. Today, for example, since you've come in today, you are coming in. By the way, if this is the only religious thing you do until next Sunday, you don't get it yet. You're not going to be strong enough to withstand what's about to be unleashed on this world. You're going to get swept away. Sins that beset us will take us away. Things in our life that are coming at us, things in our culture that are coming. If this is the only, hey, God, drive through, I did my obligation, as many of you were raised in religion like that, that it is an obligatory thing. As long as it's an obligatory thing, you're just doing it if you try to get brownie points to get on the bus. But that's not where it is. This has been what I call a level of rehab today. We have walked in doing things because the word said. Why do we raise our hands? The word says to do it. Why do we sing? The word says. Why do we clap our hands? The word says. Why do we even take a time where we open our voice and our mouths and create something out of our hearts? Out of our hearts that shows toward. If you find that awkward there, you work on that a little bit. Lord, I love you. Lord, I just thank you today. Lord, you I bless you. And then try it with some music. Try it with a tune. Try something. Do it by yourself. Get used to hearing that sound there. Trust the word. Trust the process. Why? First off, he said, if you do it, he said, do it, it's pleasant. Do it, it is good. Do it because I said so, and also do it because I live in that. Do you understand that? I don't see that. I'm just singing the songs. I think I'm just coming in. No. You got to trust why you've gone through some rehab. We've been in a level. Since we arrived here today, as a matter of fact, we have been in rehab therapy. Each week we're having another level of treatment. Each week we need something. You know, there's something throughout every word that will touch every part of us right now. Robert Morgan, a guy who wrote a great book on different hymnology, he wrote this statement. He said, worship is to fill our minds with thoughts of God. To fill our hearts with the grace of God, and to fill our mouths with praise to God. That's your rehab. That's why you're doing. You can't see it. You don't understand it, but you better trust the word. You better trust the process. That's God's word for me today. And you know what else I've found a truthful thing? How important all this is? I feel very strongly about this. I've enjoyed over the years going into places and teaching, going to places and encouraging people about why we do what we do. How we do what we do. It's not strange. You know, our culture doesn't think it's strange at all to stand on a street corner and wave our hands and ask for beads for a grown man in tights and a wig. And we don't think anything of it. But if I ask you to walk in and say, Lord, I bless you today. Lord, I just thank you this morning. Oh, you know, religion's private to me. No, it should be. Lord, I thank you today. Lord gave you another day. He gave you another day of rehab. Trust the process. Trust the word today. I'm doing better than your faces are telling me.
Here's what I found out, though, in my rehab, and here's what I found out doing this week after week for a lifetime. The cumulative and the residual effects of our devotion brings deliverance. You got that? There is a cumulative effect on why we do what we do. And if we keep doing it, it grows in us. I found out week after week I was doing it, but I was still hurting the same way. I don't hurt that way anymore. And I found out something really, really cool at home, though. Whenever something needs to be done, I start reaching for the ladder, and he'll go, "Oh, no, wait, I'll do that." And I go, "All right." Got that? You know, there's some things you just want to have. You want to keep some things. I was teaching a class one time, and I was talking about my terrible allergies. And I've been tested 3 times with the pokes and the everything like that. And you know what the first one was? Grass. Cut grass. So from an early age, God spoke to me. And that was my special malady that he gave me. And I was having fun with a class one time, and I had one of these spirits. You know the spiritual, those people are more spiritual than God. You know what I mean? You say something, "Oh, don't say that." Look, I've been around a while. I understand what I'm saying. And this person came up to me, just as serious as a heart attack. Little sister, she had her Bible. She said, "Just come up. We just need to do something right now." She grabbed me. She said, "We just need to pray right now. We need to bind that spirit. We need to bind that allergy. We need to. You don't need to do that. We're going to speak again." I said, "No, don't touch me. I don't want it. I don't want it." And to this day, to the glory of God, I don't have to do that. What we're doing in the Word today will pay off with a cumulative and a residual effect in our lives. It's the devotion. God sees you showing up today. God sees you opening the Word. God sees you, and I'm going to deal more of this in the next 2 weeks. God sees you when you feel like you're the only one. God sees you when you feel the ridicule, when you're trying your best to stand. And you've got maybe somebody even close to you that is biting and ridiculing and demeaning. And you just feel like, gee, next week I'm going to open up with a statement. Have you ever said, "Well, what's the use? It's not going to do any good." You feel that way with the culture right now. What's the use? I'm going to deal with it head on next 2 weeks. It's really good. I've already seen it. But I have to trust the Word, and I have to trust the process, because these are two of the ways that God will speak. By the way, let's talk the truthful, personal bottom line about God speaking and something happen. Do you know, I already read it for you, but do you really realize that you are actually here today because God spoke? You're breathing today because God spoke. Some of you perhaps are here today, and your arrival on this planet was not the beautiful thing of the mom and the dad and the blue or the pink. Some of you might have come here under very difficult circumstances. Oh, and I really love this thing. They think they're waiting for points like, oh my God, how wise. I didn't ask to be born. No fooling. They act like that's profound. There's only one baby that asked to be born. Think about it. You're here because God spoke. Listen to this. You are still here because God spoke. You got it? You got it? You are still here because God spoke. Now, he's not ready. They're not ready for you there. Or you've not completed everything he wants you to do. Or he's given you a time to get it right. So there's three areas there. You got it? And the bottom line, we've not completed our journey yet. You are still here because God spoke. That means God's expecting something to happen in your life. As we grow, though, sensitive, the cumulative effect, as we grow sensitive, more sensitive to God's voice, we can experience his voice and his sound through words, through music, through moments. We just know that God is up to something.
We all remember that first time that our heart was pulled toward God. You know what that really was? That was the first God said moment in your life, that God spoke and something pulled you toward him. It wasn't a figment of your imagination. In our walk, we'll be given the word in our ears. We'll be given the word in our hearts. And at times it might not make sense, and why should we continue? We're having to trust the word and trust the process. Because scripture, natural history, biblical history, and personal history experience has taught us that when God speaks, something happens. Sometimes that's all you have. But like the creation story, then God said moments can be transformative. I'm going to show you one such story this morning. The trajectory of this little fellow's life changed in a moment because of what God said. It's at this personal time that I need to step out of my role here, but step over into a personal, asking your personal prayer for our family. Because we have a lifelong heated dispute in our family. We're steadfast in both of our opinions. We do not want to be swayed because we're both right. Ever have that happen? Luke 19 tells about a little fella and the word changed his life. Jesus entered Jerusalem and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector. See, if he lived today, they could give him a gun so he could go to houses. He became very rich. You know how they became rich? They collected for themselves. One for y'all, one for me. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. The King James Version says he sought to see Jesus, but he was too short. Verse 4, so he ran ahead. He climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. Now stop right here. A lot of people are saying, well, I want Jesus to speak to me. I want God to speak for me. But they're standing in a position where they can't see him. You might have to make some changes in your life, move geographically to another spot where you can see him. Do something in your life that says, I want to see him enough that I'm going to make these changes. I'm not going to stay right. Gee, I really wish I could see him. You see the folly of that? But instead, he says, let me go ahead of the crowd there. He's going to be gone. This is the route. I see where the police are. This is the route I'm going to go. And I'm going to hit this tree right now. I'm going to climb up this tree. So little Zacchaeus, he positioned himself to see Jesus. Remember that. You want to see, you might have to reposition yourself. You got it? That's a whole story for another day. Then Jesus just happened to come by. No, he was ready for it. He was looking for it. You want to hear from Jesus? Start looking for him. Run to where you think he's going to be. Position yourself for it. And he looked up. He looked up. And he spoke to him. You know, the story in the scripture always shows us that regardless of the clamor of the crowd, he hears the one that is desperately, earnestly seeking God. Whether it was a clamor of hands all over him, but there was one touch that touched the bottom of his robe. He said, who touched me? You got to be kidding. Look at all these crazy people. They're all over you. No. Somebody, there was another person that possessed. She's down, and there she is. And he lifted her up. Jesus came by, and he looked up. Quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. So thus, here is our heated disagreement for over 35 years. I was taught in Sunday school, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for his Lord. He wanted to see. Remember the line? Songwriters, rhyme lines. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and said, and they made us do our fingers, Zacchaeus? How many of you did your finger? Y'all do your finger. Zacchaeus? That's right. You come down. And I sang, because I'm going to your house for tea. C-T rhyme line. But just 6 years later in Sunday school, it was changed. And she will argue me to the ground that it says, and as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, you come down.
For I'm coming to your house today. Thank you, Phil.
Any of y'all know how to play drums? We lost ours today. Hey, all right, let's take a vote. Who? Now, come on, don't pander, be honest. How many of you sang tea? Raise your hand. This isn't good. How many of you said today? Raise your hand. Oh, my Lord. Ask Bill Gaither, it doesn't rhyme. Huh? It's the story, she says. Coming to your house today, she says. Well, I'm just going to stand in my belief. Hey, let me tell you what I read about. And I read this. The word says Zacchaeus quickly climbed down, verse 6. Now notice something here. When God spoke, Zacchaeus acted on the word. How many pictures in the scripture does Jesus speak to someone and they go away, and Jesus, even a whole nation, and he has spoken and they did not do that? Why? Because he trusted the word. He trusted the process. He was carnal. He was crooked. But there was something inside of him that made, he said, I got to go see this man. I got to go here. It's something that pulled him into that right now. And he took Jesus to his house with great excitement and joy. Stop right there. Can I just say something very, very neat right here? From that moment, because when he speaks, something happens. Light came to the house of Zacchaeus. Light came. And here's what I need to tell you. Even when Jesus and the boys physically left the house and went on their journey, Jesus was still in the house. Because when he spoke, it transformed that little fella. It transformed him. Not just because he said, because he took the word and he obeyed it. By the way, y'all know people that like to rain on your belief, rain on your stand on the word. Don't worry about it. It's nothing new. Because meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord. By the way, we're all going to stand single file, okay? You can stand single file. And before that happened, verse 7 said this. The people were displeased. He had spoken to that little awful man. By the way, there's always going to be a peanut gallery. They'll always, and well, I'm religious and I'm part of that church and we're hosting this meeting with Jesus. And what's he going to go speak to that man there? No. And Zacchaeus, God spoke, transformation came. He said, I'm going to give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I've cheated people on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much. By the way, you notice that Jesus never said, get out here, get all that money back. No. He changed in the inside first. And the inside out transformation said, I got to do this. Religion says, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to help these little people. I got to do these things. Now, that's really nice. That's noble. That's not going to get you there, okay? Because it is relationship. And the real truth of giving is in the heart first. How much can I love to do? Jesus responded. Something, he spoke and something big happened. He said, salvation has come to this home today.
For this man has shown himself. Stop there. You will eventually show yourself. Grandma, you say it another way, but you will eventually show yourself, whether as to give glory to God or what. You have shown yourself today to be a true son. He's telling him right now, he wasn't even born in the natural family, but he's saying right now, you are a true covenant son of Abraham today. Salvation has come. And then he turns right around and speaks loud enough for all of them to hear, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost and those who are lost. That morning when Zacchaeus woke up, he had no clue how his life would change forever. But he just knew something inside of him. I need to see this. I need to hear this. He had to see Jesus. That is the Spirit of God that was working. When you feel that inside of you, that is the Spirit of God working in you that pulls you toward to know what he says. He did what he had to do over and over. And then as Jesus just happened by, he spoke. Zacchaeus acted. His life was never the same. Something big had happened in his life. And if Zacchaeus was standing next to me today, he would proudly say, he's right. When God speaks, something happens. That's what Zacchaeus said. So to you today, as I land the plane on part one, let God speak, let him move. Next week, I'm going to tell you a story about a man who lived well over 500 years before Jesus Christ was born. But his life and the life of his nation was changed when God spoke. Part two and then part three. Let's stand next week.
I just want to say real quick, this is going to be very quick, but this is a perfect message. You know, we're married 39 years this January. We're good friends. We've worked together all of our lives in music and ministry. But we are individuals before the Lord. And I can't rely on him and his walk with God in order for me to be strong. Just like the things he eats doesn't make me strong. So I want to encourage you, what is it that sustains us? What sustains, and all of you can testify who understand what I'm fixing to say. I am a morning person, so it is easier, I will say, but you find your time. I get up. I get excited, especially if I'm in the middle of a book that is teaching me something about one of the books of the Bible. I'll wake up at 5:30 and go running to set the coffee and go sit down. I'll read for an hour and a half, 2 hours, if I've got the time. I'm not saying that you have to do this every day. I'm saying, but anytime you spend a few minutes, it is the power of God to bring salvation to you for every minute of that day. I'm telling you, if you have not experienced that, or you feel like you're dragging through life or the day or whatever, I challenge you, either get up or make sure you make time for it when you go to bed so you can be thinking about it, and you get into that word and you allow the scriptures to speak to you, because when you make yourself available, that's all you have to do. Make yourself available. Zacchaeus made himself available. He didn't stay home that day. He ran, and like Michael described, he ran up into that tree so that he could hear and see what all the fuss was about, because he knew people's lives had been changed, delivered, set free, transformed. It's the same thing, because it says in the Bible, he's the same yesterday as he is today and forever. If you want to see something in your life you're not seeing, I challenge you, do what Zacchaeus did, and he will come to your house today.
You see that? You liked that, didn't you? Yeah. It's like John Hagee used to say. He said, gentlemen, you know that argument you won in the car on the way over to church today? It's not over.
Some of y'all need to get up in the tree. You need to climb up. Hey, that's a new message. I'm going to work on that. You need to get up in the tree. God's shaking a lot of trees right now. He's speaking in a lot of areas today. A lot going on in the world. He's using unusual vessels right now. He's using imperfect vessels even. He's using them at certain times to say things and to make people think. And even they've got some things. But you know what? God's word is true. I never thought I'd quote him in church. We're living for the battle. The battle is for life itself and for the lives of our children. They're killing us through food. They're killing us through content. They're killing us through programming. But God is alive, and he is alive in all of us, and we will overcome. I never quoted Kanye West before. But God is using all kinds of vessels right now. I pray that God would keep him safe and let him grow in the word more. He's a baby in the word. He doesn't know the word. But there's something inside of him. He's climbing up a tree so that when Jesus comes by, he'll have a vantage point to see him. Man, that's I tell you what, this took a whole other direction since I've stood here today. Right hands up. This word will be posted by late this afternoon on our website. If you go to the website, is it called Archives? Audio messages. It will be on the website. You haven't looked at Facebook lately. We've been posting things very, very important. Please check it periodically, at least once a week. Right hands up. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord grant you peace. May the Lord give you a blessed week. And I ask you to run toward the word like Zacchaeus. Do what you have to do to get to where he's going to be.